When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
The stars. 103 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And last week we didn't make our picks because we were flying. And we were on our way to Army Navy. So we got to get back on track with making our picks.
I tried
picks.
To ask you guys to get me your picks.
Yeah, well, we had lots to do.
I made
do.
My picks.
We had lots to do. Yeah. On the season right now, Dusty and I are very close, separated by a whole half game now. Those kissing cousins are the thing setting us apart. I've got 20 losses and one tie. You at 19 losses and two ties, being the only thing separating us right now.
Yeah. It's been a great year.
It's been a great year. It's been a solid year on the for entertainment purposes only picks.
Yeah. I went 2-2 last week.
Huh, so babe.
I'm now at 32-26-3.
Yeah, you're still above
still
board.
Not too shabby.
No, again, 51% means you're doing well.
Yeah.
And our division picks, when we revisit those when we hit in the playoffs, we did mostly good, but boy did we suck on all of our 49ers picks. Those are going to loom large.
Well, you mean the team falling apart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's going to hurt. But other than that, you know, we'll see where we end up. With that in mind, let's get into our picks this week.
All right.
Senor Dusty, what do you got?
I'm going to start. I got the Chargers -2.5 at home against the Denver Broncos. If you look at the Denver Broncos, their 9-5 record on the season. Three of those losses have come on the road. One of their two home losses this year to the LA Chargers. You got a veteran quarterback, more comfortable. And look, this game means so much for both of these teams, right? One more win and the Broncos are in. The Chargers are right there in that same territory. And so I'm going to go with the veteran quarterback at home in this matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. I love that we get this game on a Thursday night, though. This is a game that's meaningful, it's impactful, and both of these teams, they're in a playoff hunt, in a playoff charge, so you have the playing field is level for both of them, so if not one is on a short week and the other isn't, they get that extra day of rest as they both try to make a final push and get for playoff eligibility.
I'm actually going to go on the other side of this, and this is probably the first time, not even probably, it is the first time this year that I'm going to take the Broncos at any point in time. I'm going to take them the +2.5 on the road, making them a road dog. Look, the Broncos, when they find ways to win, it's okay. When they find ways to win, they find ways to win by just enough. And this Chargers team is anemic offensively. I mean, both these teams find ways to scratch, claw, and find points. Playing outside of Mile High, it's always something that's difficult for Denver to do. That's the comfy confines of home. But just looking at this Broncos team and what they do have in line that you talk about, the ability to kind of secure some things and wrap stuff up and give them that opportunity to get into the playoffs, I'm going to take the Broncos here as the road dog.
All right.
Apropos of nothing, too, it looks like almost with only, what, 3 weeks left in the season, they probably are both going to make the playoffs anyway, because the Chargers sit there at 8-6 going into tonight. And then after that, you've got the Colts, Dolphins, and Bengals all at 6-8. So I think both the Broncos and the Chargers are going to make the playoffs. I'm going to go, though, to Kansas City this weekend. Oh, they are minus 3.5 versus Houston, and that's what the line was before they even announced Patrick Mahomes would play. That hasn't changed, so maybe that tells me that Vegas knew something ahead of time that we didn't. But I still feel pretty good about Kansas City minus 3.5.
They have ruled out another offensive lineman.
Yeah,
for this week.
And you know what? And here's the thing, though, too, is that the Chiefs, all they do is figure out a way to win.
Yep.
So
they will be out. DJ Humphreys out. Jamari Connor at safety out. Hollywood Brown still out.
No. Hollywood Brown is, they have activated him and from injured reserve in time for Saturday, barring any setbacks. That's been in my updates all darn day.
Well, it says he's still on their official injury report. Yeah. He remains on IR, practice in full on Thursday, does not carry an injury designation for Saturday's game against the Texans.
Well, although I think I did hear something about Travis Kelce perhaps not being available.
That would hurt, too.
So that'd be a big one.
Ooh, still hung over from T-Swift's birthday? Yeah.
But that will give a chance for Noah Gray to step up. And that guy, when he has had to, he has done it.
Take the Noah
Gray. He has also, Andy Reid did say that it's a good chance that
Hollywood plays?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, your second pick?
I'm going to go Lions minus 6.5 at the Bears. Look, lost in the... Oh, Caleb Williams is not the best rookie quarterback right now, and everybody freaking out is that since they fired Matt Eberflus, the Bears defense sucks. Mm. Is anybody looking at this right now? And I'm taking that Dan Campbell speech that he gave where he dropped multiple F-bombs on live radio. And I'm going to take that to heart. I'm riding with the Lions to win by a tutty or more.
That was the only thing that scared me away was that 6.5-point line.
Nope. Not me. I've watched the Bears.
I almost took it, unfortunately, on a
Monday night.
That was tough. The one I scratched to take the KC minus 3.5.
Golly.
I like to keep my line small. I'm going to take the Rams minus 3 at the Jets. We talked about the dysfunction of the Jets. I wonder what Matt Stafford's Madden rating is compared to Aaron Rodgers right now. Because, look, Stafford's been a dude out there.
Yep.
And regardless of what shape or form of injury the Rams are in, they seem to get it done, man. They just, I don't know, man. They are full on Monty Python. They will gum you to death.
Mm-hmm.
They just find a way. And if you're going to tell me they're a field goal game away against this Jets team that has been mostly broken, I don't care if they found a little bit of something last week with Devontae and Aaron. Give me the Rams, man.
Yeah, you know what scared me about that one?
What's that?
The weather.
It's certainly there. As we saw that 49ers-Rams game that got completely sideways.
Yep.
Yeah, so it could be the weather. I'm there with Danny, though, on the Rams minus 3 because they have won, let's see here. That is 6-7 of their last 9 after starting the year. Mm-hmm. Not fantastic. Yeah, and the Jets are still a mystery wrapped in a riddle inside an enigma.
Ooh, the name of Aaron Rodgers' documentary.
Yes, exactly. That's also a cheating line from the movie JFK. But yeah, I'll take the Rams minus 3.
All right. My third game, I'm taking an under. I'm taking an under because this number doesn't make sense to me. Patriots at Bills is set at 46.5 points. Okay. Would you like to hear the weather report in Buffalo, New York for Sunday?
Give it to me.
High of 19.
Ooh, baby.
Low of 10.
Cloudy. Hey, staying above zero.
Cloudy, snow showers, frigid.
Mm.
I have watched the New England Patriots.
Prime table diving weather.
I am going to go out on a limb here and say this is a Bills get up early, put it in cruise control. Mm-hmm. This game, the only way they hit the over is if it is 45-3.
Mm.
That's the only way or it could be 49-0, but I don't see that happening.
Because they're just not going to push the ball enough.
They're going to be like, you know what? What do we need to run the score up for? We want to get out of this thing healthy. I see this one being a low-scoring affair. I'm going to take the under on 46.5 in 19 degrees
that is a
in
big
snow
number.
Showers.
Now, I took the over.
Well, the Patriots suck.
That's true. I took the over in the big snow game that we had a couple weeks ago.
I'm a Patriots fan.
And the only reason I took the over was because I figured the game would get squirrely. And we'd get some turnovers that led to long runs and somebody wouldn't know how to play in the snow. That's what ended up happening. But that over was like 36 or 37 and a half.
Yep.
48's a massive number.
Yeah. 46 and a half.
Or 46. I'm sorry. That's almost 10 points more than the line that I took. So, yeah, the under on that one feels nice. I'm going to take the Bucks minus four against the Cowboys. Why have you watched the Cowboys play football?
Yeah.
As bad as the...
I try not to.
The only team right now that might be playing worse than the Cowboys is the Giants. That's it. The Cowboys are awful on ever. There's not a redemptive quality about that football team.
Rush didn't look as bad.
Oh God, they are atrocious. I mean, it is an affront to football.
Well, I mean, they did win by 16 last week.
Yeah.
So Carolina.
Yeah. I'll throw my hands up.
Oh, that's Carolina.
Look, the Bucs are banged up, but as long as they got Baker and Mike Evans, they have two players that are just so much better than everybody else in the Cowboys. It's hard for me to believe that they can't cover 4 points.
So while I did just kind of say, oh, it was Carolina, those Arizona Cardinals, they are at Carolina, where it is expected to be cold. And now this week, I too will introduce some audio into our NFL picks.
No, I mean, I've played in cold weather before. It's not, I don't know, how cold is it supposed to be?
Like 35, 40.
Yeah.
So that's Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray on the weather report for Carolina this weekend. Carolina are 5-point dogs. While they have lost four straight, they've been close in most of them except for that Cowboys game. Arizona has not done great despite beating the Patriots last weekend. They lost three before that, two of them to the Seahawks and one to the Vikings. I'm going to take Carolina plus five at home in the cold weather against Kyler Murray.
All right, my final game here. I'm taking another under, and it is Steelers in Baltimore for the Ravens, okay? They played earlier this year in Pittsburgh. Final score 18-16. Here's a little ditty for you about this rivalry.
And Jack and Diane.
They have hit the over of 45 points in this rivalry twice since 2018.
Yeesh.
They play each other two times every single year. The last time that these two teams combined for 45 points was November 1st. 2020. So there has not been a game in 2021, 2, 3, or so far this year where they have hit an over of 45 points.
Or.
So I am going to take the under of 45. I know TJ Watt is banged up. I know that the Baltimore Ravens are playing like Madden, but for whatever reason, this game always plays tight. Plays tight and low scoring.
Apropos of nothing, may I just make one interjection here?
Sure.
And that Mike Tomlin, whenever you hear him talking like an oppressor, he always sounds like a parent that is terribly disappointed in you.
Yeah, yeah. And Pittsburgh's won four straight in this matchup.
Yeah.
Four straight. The scores of those games have been 18-16, 17-10, 17-10, 16-13.
Oh, by the way, this is also Tomlin on J.J. Watt's ankle.
T.J. Watt, I just saw him walking around rather comfortably. But again, he's questionable with his ankle. We'll see where the roads lead us.
I'm very disappointed in you. I expected better out of you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, weather report. High of 31 Sunday. The weather, literally on AccuWeather, says clear and bitterly cold.
Ah.
That says points.
Bitterly cold.
I like it.
On Saturday... Nice day. It's partly cloudy and very cold. Mm. Not bitterly cold.
That's an improvement.
Golly.
Good times out there. My last pick, I'm going to take the Vikings minus three at the Seahawks. Look, the Seahawks, Geno Smith says he's going to go despite the knee injury, which it's always a promising point to point out that your quarterback is going to go despite his knee injury that everybody saw and everybody knows happened, and everybody knows he's not healthy. Also, Ernest Jones IV, Travis Gibson, Noah Fant, DK Metcalf, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, all questionable. All questionable to this game.
Doesn't
seem great. That's basically the entirety of your offense. And the Vikings continue to be one of the best stories in the NFL. They continue to just kind of march on. If they go out in there and they win this game, they can grab firm hold of the NFC North.
They can.
They have all the motivation in the world to go out there because the Lions are beat up.
Well, not firm hold, but... Well,
hold of.
Yeah. If the Lions stub their toe at any point, hell yeah.
So there's a strong, strong opportunity out there for the Minnesota Vikings to go take care of business. And the Vikings... I'm sorry, the Seahawks are... They need this win desperately, but they just may not have the personnel to get it done.
Nope.
All right, well, continuing the bit, I always end it with my Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey,
they're doo-doo.
Yeah. They are at the Las Vegas Raiders.
They're doo-doo also.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so far, it looks like I went back and checked my record on the Jaguars games this year. I would have a better record if I didn't pick these games every week. I'm only 6-8 with the Jags. But they are 1.5-point road dogs at the Raiders. And so I just figured, what the hell? I'm going to go with Jacksonville. 1.5-point dogs.
All right.
There we go. Those are our picks, ladies and gentlemen. Thursday afternoon at 2:00-ish. Every single week, unless we're flying, of course, our Stone Cold Dead by Blocks. Coming up next, we will talk about that Thursday night football game. It's going to be a bit of a slobber knocker, but for all of you Duck fans out there, it's a nice little matchup featuring your two best quarterbacks, maybe ever.
I don't know. Marcus Mariota may have something to say about that.
No, I should say pros.
Dan Fouts may have something to say about that.
That's true. I always forget about Fouts. He sneaks in there. We'll get that more here. Coming up with Danny Dusty today, the fan. Good old-fashioned AFC West showdown tonight as the Los Angeles Chargers. Hey, I managed to say Los Angeles Chargers without calling them San Diego for maybe the first time ever.
Hey,
it's small victories. Take on the Denver Broncos tonight in a game that, if you looked at this on the schedule early on, you're like, I guess you got to put something on Thursday night. As you looked at, you know, the Chargers getting Harbaugh into place and a team that was still going to be in a rebuild process, and the Broncos moving on and rebuilding their process. Instead, you have a game with real stakes.
Beginning of the year, not as great of a game as it is at the end.
But certainly not. You have a game with real stakes for both teams involved, not just one. And to be honest, you look at a lot of these late season slates, and this one might have the biggest stakes of all of them remaining, in a sense of this game matters drastically for both teams as far as the pecking order.
A win for the Broncos, they're in the playoffs. Simple as that. They win and you're in. For the Chargers, a win, and I think their playoff hopes go up to 91%.
Basically, if they win, guarantee.
It's huge for both of these franchises, and that's exactly what the NFL wants on a Thursday night in a standalone game at this point in the year. And I think that when you look at both the Chargers and the Broncos, the way that they've been able to do it is kind of bucking the trend of what is going on with successful franchises in the NFL right now. They're not neither one of these teams is doing it with a bona fide franchise wide receiver. Denver's doing it with a rookie quarterback and a dominant offensive line. And a defense that has been stifling. Both of these defenses have been really damn good this year.
To the point of which there's a three-way tie in the NFL for teams that have allowed the least amount of points. They are the Denver Broncos, the Los Angeles Chargers, and Philadelphia Eagles at 247.
17.6 points per game, man. And
that's a low number.
They have been stingy throughout the entirety of this season. And that's where I go to if you're playing a defense that... Both of them can give up yards, but you take that bend but don't break. That's what keeps them in the playoff race. That's what keeps you in every single game is that bend but don't break, right? Yards, that's a dumb stat because yards aren't points. Points are what gets you beat. And both of these teams are really, really, really good at as the field gets shorter, times get tougher for a quarterback. I look at it with Bo Nix, too, and that's why I'm going with the Chargers in this game. I've been really high on Denver all season long, but you have a rookie quarterback, and Bo Nix has been outstanding. Really, all season long. If you're talking about a rookie quarterback coming in, he's been steady. And steady isn't always great. It's bad at times when you have a steady quarterback that's a rookie. But he's been consistent in he makes mistakes, and rookies are going to get got. Especially when you don't have game breakers on the outside. He's asked to do so much. He is navigating it as well as any Bronco fan could ever hope. I mean, he truly is. Well, because of what is on his table that Sean Payton puts on his quarterback every single play, Bo Nix is doing a great job. But your good defenses, especially, they're going to get you, man. And Bo's not impervious to that. He's made plenty of mistakes
But he's grown throughout the course of the season.
No doubt about it.
Which is like that's what you want to see.
Yep. And for Justin Herbert, this guy's got to be so relieved. Think of the style of play that he's in now. His numbers aren't as gaudy. His targets aren't nearly as good as they've been. But he's not asked to play like a hero. He's asked to play like an NFL quarterback now. He played 13 games last year. And in 13 games in 2023, Justin Herbert attempted 456 passes for 3,134 yards, 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's played 14 games.
So one more game.
And he's attempted 399 passes.
50 less throws.
Okay. And he has 16 touchdowns, but only 2 interceptions because he's not asked to be the hero. He's asked to be a quarterback now. And for him, I think for Justin Herbert, that's what he wants. And this is without the weapons. His Ladd McConkey is his best weapon.
That's the thing I was going to say. He is not being asked to deliver on expectations that are unrealistic. In the sense of
play hero ball. That's all that they did.
But not just that, but the idea of, hey, look, we know you don't have the weapons, so we're not going to ask you to try to deliver upon. Like, that's what Harbaugh does is he looks at his roster, whatever he has, and he goes, how do we optimize what we have? You look at that team, all of their money is in the defense. Are they leading the defense in points allowed or leading the league in points allowed? Yeah. Yes. Their tackles are very good. Their interior line, not very good.
They just need to figure out how to stay healthy on both sides
of
the ball.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's something I don't think that's the variable you can't control for. But the things that he can control, Harbaugh here, it's an optimization standpoint of like, look, it's a realization of like, just because you have a $50 million quarterback, it's like just because you have a Ferrari doesn't mean you need to drive at 120 everywhere.
Yeah.
It's okay to cruise on the corners. It's okay to let the accelerator run out a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have this thing pinned all the time and go, Justin, save us, and throw the ball 55 bleeping times a game.
Well, and here's the thing is that it looks like at this point, those two teams, like I said, are going to be the last two seeds in the AFC, which means that you're going to play either at Buffalo or at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
I mean, they're not Super Bowl contenders. They're exceeding expectations right now.
Yeah.
And I think for both of them, this is the great starting point for, one, your rookie quarterback with a veteran coach, and two, a new head coach with a veteran quarterback. Greg Roman's offense, as they get the pieces around Justin Herbert, I think the next step is they're going to go after another tight end probably.
Yeah.
But getting a top-end wide receiver that can alleviate the pressure from Ladd McConkey and whoever that tight end is going to be. Greg Roman's offense isn't one that is conducive to Justin Herbert in the long run, but it is right now. Because look at where in Baltimore they ran into the brick wall every single season, right? It was... And it's not the fact that Lamar Jackson couldn't push the ball down the field. It was when and how they did it schematically. And everybody was like, me included, hand up. I was like, well, Lamar just doesn't have the weapons. He doesn't have the weapons. That's why they're not doing it. Well, they got the weapons, and it was still like, now you have Todd Monken comes in, and look at scheme-wise, where they're trying to push the ball down the field. And Lamar Jackson has improved on his downfield throwing, but I think it's two parts. One, the work he's put in, but two, Todd Monken being a coordinator that plays to the strengths of a quarterback that can push the ball down the field. And Herbert's arm can make any throw. We know that. Like, we've seen that. Whether it's on or off platform, he's got a howitzer attached to his shoulder. But is this offense going to be one when they do get all the pieces around that is going to be, all right, we can let him loose? Because a lot of that is the play caller, not the players themselves. And that will be the interesting part to see if and how this offense does grow when they do get the weapons. But for right now, it's perfect for what they're trying to do and what they have at their disposal.
And it fits the Harbaugh MO.
Yep.
That's the thing I think that really stands out is it's a coordinator that falls in line with how Harbaugh wants to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have a quarterback that doesn't give a rip about the numbers either.
Yes, the accolades or anything that comes along with it. No. So this should be a good game.
I think it'll be a great game.
I genuinely hope it is. You know, it's you know, the standalone game that usually this time of year you're like, oh, this is not great, Bob. But instead, you get a nice, solid one. All right, coming next.
A lot of times, right here, you get like, you know, Browns Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. You get one, and you're like, I'm good. You don't need to have this one on. It's like it's the NFL version of the Bayou Bowl. All right, coming up next. One reason why all of the 12 teams in the college football playoff could go on a run or even make the championship game. Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Just a little bit more than 24 hours away from the college football playoff. One reason why each and every team in the college football playoff could at least win a game and make a little bit of a run.
Oh, boy. Every single one or just this weekend's games?
Just this weekend's.
Okay. Just this weekend's games. All right, good. Wow. We want to start Friday. Let's go in order of these games. Let's go in order of these games. For Indiana, I really do think it is the one time that we got to see them against an opponent that people thought is up to snuff and a great team was Ohio State. They got the doors blown off them by Ohio State. Think of the critical errors that they made, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was special teams miscues and mishaps repeatedly happening.
Shooting yourself
giving in the foot. Ohio State short fields. Mm-hmm. Now, were some of them forced by Ohio State? Absolutely. Sure. But they weren't the glaring, oh, wow, moments. And I think being in that moment, we will learn a lot about Indiana because one thing that Indiana is really damn good at in late in the year, and especially with this first game that's tomorrow against Notre Dame where they can get over the hump, is late in the year, the effectiveness of running the football, right? Indiana has the number one rush defense in all of college football. That in and of itself, right there, is going to give Indiana a chance.
It's a nice little thing you can hang your hat on the sense of a part of it is their offense is so prolific, teams can't run on them. The other part of it is they are a good run defense.
And I think their run defense, it's legit. It's for real.
Yeah. See, I think, though, too, with one of those upstart teams like Indiana, when you get in those big tight games like that in a big game, that's where some of those mistakes start to show out because you're not used to being on that scene. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why I said being in that game and getting Ohio State out of the way, that's an easing. That can be an easing game for the players, even though it went horrifically wrong.
So even though it went that way, you get it out of the way.
If you're well coached and you have not been in that moment before, when you get in that moment again, and I think Kirk Cignetti is a great coach, mm-hmm. when you get in that moment again, it is not nearly as impactful as it is the first time.
Good point.
On the other side of that, the Fighting Irish, outside of their loss to Northern Illinois, which was their defense this year has been the thing that led the charge. And if you look at them, the USC game notwithstanding, 49-35, most points anybody scored on them was 24. Their defense is a defense that gets after you in every single facet of the game. They have two of the best corners in the country. Their defensive line is an absolute monster. They put pressure on you endlessly. Miller Moss got absolutely smacked around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, not Miller Moss. Maiava, who they brought in for Miller Moss in the USC-Notre Dame game. He got absolutely smacked around in that game, and it was one of those situations where, it's USC and their offensive line has been in shambles. He was running for his life, and that Notre Dame defense, there is not a hole on that defense. The pass rush is phenomenal. The run defense is phenomenal. The pass defense is phenomenal. They are a disruptive game team in on the line of scrimmage in deflections and in pass deflections in the secondary.
I don't want to mean this is like a shot to you, your USC fandom, but getting after USC isn't really something that.
Again, there was no. There, he was running for his life. Yeah. I mean, he.
Yeah, it doesn't mean what it once meant, but they're on everybody quick.
You have to make decisions quick now. Indiana doesn't have an experienced quarterback back there in Curtis Work, and it could make for... This is one of the game, I think, in here that has the best style makes fights.
I think if you look at it and you make styles make fights, I mean, the biggest strength that Notre Dame has offensively is their ability to run the ball. Riley Leonard is a battering ram of a quarterback. Yes. Can he push the ball downfield? I don't know, in 27 degrees in snow, if you're going to need to push the ball down the field. But it's not just Riley Leonard running the ball. Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price Any of those three, they can take a game over for Notre Dame. And so teams that can run the ball effectively are going to have a really good chance to make a run. And I think if you're looking at both these teams, Indiana's ability to stop the run, Notre Dame's ability to run the ball, that is circled as the matchup of this game, is Indiana's defense against Notre Dame's offense as it pertains to running the football. And it could lead to both these teams, if they want to make a run in the playoff, that's how they're going to have to do it.
You want to take a look at Tennessee, Ohio State? So that's not an order. That's
Penn State, SMU would be the next one.
Yes.
To be quite frank, I don't know how SMU makes a run.
Is this the hardest one for you?
I don't think either one of the ACC teams are really that great, but I will give Clemson more of a nod because of the level of talent that they do have. Jennings at quarterback has been outstanding. Kevin Jennings.
That's the reason right there. If you're looking for one, he's the reason.
He's not winning you a college football playoff, no. Though. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're not good in the back end. On the defensive side, they are good in the front seven, but you know, offensively, I just don't think they have the horses. Ooh, Mustangs!
There you go.
They don't have the horses to put teams, the elite teams, and give them fits. They're balanced, but they aren't great at anything offensively, and I think that's where they run into problems in the college football playoff.
And plus, these days, the kids don't want to get cars; they want cash. They don't want Mustangs.
That's right.
They want money.
Or was it Thunderbirds? Like old Eric Dickerson, Craig James
the old
got.
T-Burn.
Yeah. The old T-Birds that they got, old T-Top. For Penn State, though, I mean, dude, their ability to play physical at the line of scrimmage, dude, they gave Oregon fits.
Yes.
Oregon has been the most physical team in every single game except for Penn State. And that includes, you know, the Boise State game. That includes the Ohio State games, where those games were closer. Penn State wasn't menacing offensively and defensively to Oregon. Where Penn State's going to fall short, obviously, their quarterback and his ability to make big plays and big moments and opportunities. He played well against Oregon. That's not good enough to beat great teams, though, and we saw it in the Big Ten Championship.
The Penn State one for me is simple. Tyler Warren. He is that kind of guy that can just upend a game. If he makes
he's not winning a game.
You don't think so?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he's a tight end. I mean, he's not winning a game. You saw, like, he did everything for Penn State.
And if he had caught one pass.
I mean, they were trailing by double digits for more than, 25 minutes.
I'm just saying, had he caught that one pass.
Yeah, exactly.
How different does it look?
Yeah. Probably not much different.
all right.
Yeah, I don't think he's the guy that's going to win a game, though. You know, he is an elite player. He is fantastic. But it's your quarterback, right? It's the most important position. That's the one that matters. And Penn State, they could play in the national title game. I don't think that's not out of the question one bit. Because on that side of the bracket, Georgia doesn't have a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's not
which is better than a Durrell bracket.
Boise State is, outside of Ashton Gentry, wildly limited too, right? Yeah. Like, there is no question Penn State could be the team that is standing on that side of the bracket. No ands, ifs, or buts about it.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that. We'll dive into the Saturday games, obviously, tomorrow, of which there are so many things to get into. But when we get back, we'll put a nice little bell on today's show before you hand out.
We got two more games for tomorrow we got to talk about.
For Isaac Asuk here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
The Portland Trail Blazers are back in action again after a semi-long layoff. a second one in 2 weeks. We'll take on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. And good news for the Portland Trailblazers, DeAndre Ayton is listed as questionable tonight, so they will very likely have their full complement of centers with DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams III, Donovan Clingan, and Duop Reith all active tonight for the Portland Trailblazers. The only one confirmed out right now is Matisse Thybulle, who has started doing some on-court work but not doing contact work yet, still coming back off of that high ankle sprain that he suffered a few weeks ago. After tonight, the Blazers will take on Luka Doncic and the Mavericks in a nice little double dip that's going to be a tough, tough spot for the Portland Trailblazers to find themselves a win coming out of. This Trailblazers for the on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway at AztecWillies.com. What are you watching tonight? You watching Thursday Night Football or you watching Blazers Nuggets?
Thursday Night Football.
Really, dude?
No? Really? Nothing?
Sorry, I love my Blazers, but come on.
You don't want to see some hot, hot Jokic action?
I will tune in.
Dual screen this?
Yeah.
No.
No?
I'm going to go one screen.
I'll have a little bit on it. I'll have
I'll check in on it, maybe, but...
I'll have my eye on it. I'll go...
Throughout today's show, I've in the commercials been going back and forth, not in a negative manner. You actually be surprised. It's been a positive exchange because it's been interactions with people who are having positive opinions. Adam Silver said that they're going to address threes in some capacity. And the thing that I've come to the conclusion, I am not anti three pointer. I am very much the game has become too homogenous in the sense that it's very similar. I've talked to God knows how many coaches over the last 2 years, and this same goal of every offense, get paint touch, turn into three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that, to me, is the biggest crux of the issue, quote-unquote. I don't care about the ratings or anything like that. The lack of diversity in the game is the
game
problem.
Is boring to watch.
Yes, because the line that I will draw here is very, very simple. Baseball was in the same place 3 years ago.
Yep.
And they made enough changes to the game to where the diversity in the game blew up. The way people went about building their rosters changed drastically in a season. By making stolen bases matter, by making singles matter, by making doubles matter, it wasn't just about getting on base. It was like people were bunting guys over again. Thing that was that analytics said was dead.
And a big reason for that is they made a small change, which is making the bags bigger.
Yes.
Right? Which upped the percentages of success in stealing, success in hit and runs, mm-hmm. success in small ball.
How many stolen bases would Ricky Henderson have had?
A lot.
On a bigger basis? Good Lord.
But I think there's a small change that you can make to the NBA that it's not a wide sweeping one that changes the outlook of the game. They just brought hand checking back.
Could change it up.
I mean, that makes it harder to get the ball in for the easy looks mm-hmm. that they're looking for. And you can get more into a player on the perimeter. So it's so hard to, because the hardest part about defending in the NBA right now is how many times do we see a jab step in, step back three, and you create that distance because a defender can't get into you.
Mm-hmm.
If you just brought back a hand check, stylistically, you would have to change the way that the game is played, which would allow for more, because you're going to be tighter to players. Also, you're going to have guys cutting and getting separation into the lane, getting mid-range jumpers back. Bring back the hand check?
That might be the simplest fix. I'm not a get rid of the corner three guy. Tom Haberstroh tweeted one at me earlier today of going to a 2, a 3, and a 4-point line, changing the math.
See, that would be interesting, but that's a major change.
So it's very...
Where the downside of that is dudes just chucking 4-pointers all game from half court.
You would have guys like Steph and
Trey Young
who would change the math. It's a very... Something has to happen. I just don't know what it is just yet.
Oh, man. Well, it'll be good to have the NBA back in full swing. It was really
too many
janky
for the cup. Too many.
Janky with the cup, but it's back tonight. Blazers take on the Nuggets at home. I saw that they were giving away tickets. They hit them in like Selwood Park.
Yeah,
or something.
On the waterfront. Yeah, I saw that. It's fun little one.
All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, Football Friday edition from noon to three. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Bye.
I don't know if you noticed.